News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It's time for radio. We're here. Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
It's cold out there.
It is. It's not actually spring anymore, is it?
I know. It's spring. It's summer. It's spring. It's summer.
It's a pick one. So today we're here again, talking in this closet, hanging out with people who want to hear about the history of El Paso because they're not taught it in schools. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, we should invite them all into the closet.
Well, yeah, that's what we do, basically. Yeah. We're all in here kind of like they're in the same vein of thinking we are, because history is important. And, you know, it's amazing how we're going to talk about a lot of this today, how history has become part of what we need to do in this town. We'll talk more as we get through this day. But also, people can find us, and we're the ones who always say Texas history begins in El Paso.
We're spewing it out around the world.
Nobody can dispute that. That's right there, because it's true.
Yeah, if you go to ktsmradio.com, you can listen to us if you aren't at home right now, and you can get the iHeartRadio link, and you can listen to our show every Saturday from 10 to 12, or you can listen to KTSM all week long via the iHeartRadio app link. And to an app.
Whatever.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Enough of that.
Okay. So, so that's kind of where we're going today.
Okay. And we got trivia happening?
Yes, we do. We've got $20 in food coupons to Pepe's and Canutio in hour one, or an El Paso Gold DVD.
We've got a pile of
lots of titles.
I think the Woman's Club today, we should tell people to get that one. Woman's Club is good because you're in it once you say that.
That's right. I'm always in all
of them. Got your ghost stories going on there. Rosa Guerrero.
Oh, there's the Woman's Club. Rosa Guerrero. Yeah, we've got ghost stories. We've got Gunfights of the Old West, which is good because Bernie and I are both in that one.
This is true.
Mexican Revolution sites, which we were talking about in the break room earlier, and Tom Lee's, and that's it. The last tour of the smelter, of course.
That's always a good one. All right, so we can give that stuff away today. If you answer the questions correctly, you call us up, and we'll be talking most likely about those questions in the first 20 minutes. So if you pay attention here, you can figure this out. Oh, the thing about today is the history of El Paso. A lot of people would think it's focused in the History Museum. What a concept, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of it is.
It should be, yes.
Yeah, it should be. So, but let's talk today about something that they've been doing for a while. They have something called the Wall of Giants.
Yes.
And every year or so, they change out the focus and subject of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we honor something new, someone new. And right now, they're getting ready to... The Woman's Club is up right now.
Yeah, the Woman's Club's
up. Go take a look
up
at that.
And Fort Bliss was before that.
Oh, we'll tell you all. There's a whole bunch of them before that. But also, what's coming up now is Cathedral High School.
Yay.
And why would a high school be part of that whole history? Well, we're going to find out today, because we've got the history of Cathedral, the history of the exhibit, and how the History Museum got to its current location. We'll talk about that with a couple of guys that know stuff. One of El Paso's more noted historians, Bernie Sargent. Good morning, sir.
Noted or denoted?
You can be
on a given, denudered? I
on
don't
a
know.
Given day, I've seen you be both. So good morning, Bernie Sargent. Also with us is Dr. David Carejo from UTEP. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And your expertise is you're a cathedral grad.
Yes, and kind of the unofficial historian for the Cathedral Alumni Association.
Well, we'll unofficially welcome you here to this radio
show.
That's
fine. Thank you.
And the thing about history in El Paso is, like I mentioned, if you don't know it, you kind of wonder what happened here. You should know it. And Cathedral being a major part of it over the years, we're going to find out about that today. But let's start with Bernie. What is the Wall of Giants, and how did it get into being? And who was on the wall?
Who's been on the wall?
Yeah.
Why were they on the wall?
Up against the wall. Yeah. The very first was Don Haskins and the 1966 basketball team.
Is that where the bear came from, the actual physical bear?
They had one. They had one there, yes.
Yeah, he was already there,
Well, he was there, and he was kind of in the closet, like we were talking history being in the closet. And they brought him out, dusted him off, and they put him out on exhibit.
Is that the one ended up at your house?
No.
No,
that was another
we
bear.
Did have one.
That was at the Centennial Museum.
You had your own bear.
We had our own bear.
Yeah,
okay,
that bear's now in Oklahoma standing in the window of a friend's house.
I think it's a
yeah, they made a nice donation to the County Historic Commission years ago when they bought the bear.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, so now the bear that has been at the History Museum is probably still there somewhere in a closet now. But so you had the bear, you had...
uniforms. We had uniforms. We also had some of the former players from the 1966 team show up for the ribbon cutting ceremony. It was a great event.
Okay, go through them all again. Who was the first one?
Well, the very first one was the, as I mentioned, Don Haskins of the 1966 basketball team. The next one was the Farah Manufacturing.
Farah.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, there were so many people that were so influenced by the Farah Manufacturing and the Farah family.
I always think about bicycles when I think of Farah and how the lady of the house, Mrs. Farah, would get on a bike and ride around the plant inside the building because that's how you got around best over there.
So I always thought of Farah Fawcett.
Farah Fawcett, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
And then your next one besides Farah Fawcett?
Yeah, the next one was El Paso Mayor. So we had a list. We had a representation of all the mayors, and all of the living mayors showed up for the ribbon-cutting ceremony on that one. And that was a nice event, too.
They did interviews with all those guys.
They did.
Because they're all guys. No, but one woman. Susie.
Susie Azar.
Right.
That's right. It was particularly difficult talking to Joseph McGoffin, but we tried.
I don't want to know how you did it. So
it was a spiritual event.
The table was floating, yes.
He's still floating over there at McGoffin Home. And who else was
there? Well, the next one was the missions. We celebrated the missions.
The missions and their people, I think.
That's
right. They put it in a people thing.
Yeah, and that was a great event, too, because there's so much history there. I mean, we predate the pilgrims, and we predate almost everything except for a couple of small little enclaves that took place in Florida. We have the oldest living active Catholic church in Texas, and I think one of the oldest in the country.
Yeah,
and
it's a Sleta.
Yeah, and it's just a wonderful example of the history, which feeds right into cathedral with the Catholicism in the Southwest.
Who was the second oldest church in El Paso in Texas?
In Texas, you tell me.
Socorro.
Okay, there you go.
They were a day later.
Oh, that's right. They did. Yeah,
they missed number one by a day, so they don't get top.
They had a different calendar. It's a little further.
Whatever. Okay. So the missions and their people, and what was next?
Then we went to UTEP's 100th birthday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that was a fun event. We had the cheerleaders there. We had some of the football team there. It was a great event, a little outside barbecue going on. It was nice. It was like a giant tailgate party in honor of the 100th birthday of UTEP.
Next was what, Fort Bliss?
Fort Bliss. That was fun. We had a bunch of soldiers, a whole lot of equipment come down the road, and we celebrated the Fort Bliss being here in El Paso and the impact it's had on this community, and it still does.
In the old days, there used to be parades all the time with Fort Bliss.
Oh, yeah.
And we have all kinds of archive pictures all over El Paso history. Well, here comes another parade. What did Pershing do this time? Mm-hmm. Or somebody else is in town. Let's get to them on the parade.
How about Lieutenant Patton?
Ah, another one.
Yeah, there you go.
Big time people going through. Okay, after that, what'd you have?
After that one, we had the Women's Club, which is still ongoing until August. And that's when we're going to be talking about the very next one, which is Cathedral.
Cathedral. Now, why would Cathedral High School rate? Tell us.
We're going to turn over to the doctor.
Doctor.
Wow. Well, as I was telling you, I was talking to Jackson earlier, right before we came on the air, and there's really a lot that has happened just within that city block that encompasses not just Cathedral High School, but perhaps it's just as importantly and really where the story of Cathedral High School begins.
The block being like Arizona
up to River. Yeah, and bordered by Stanton and Mesa.
That's it.
And it really starts with actually the centennial, the anniversary of St. Patrick Cathedral Church and also St. Patrick Elementary. And there was a lot of activity there, a lot of history there that really connects to some really rich El Paso history. Particularly as we talk about the revolution, we talk about the Cristero War.
The Mexican Revolution.
And the Mexican Revolution. And so it's just a lot of those connections and really what took place in that city block is just really, really critical to El Paso history, not just our history.
What was the first one at that block, the cathedral itself?
Yes. It was actually the building of St. Patrick Cathedral and its dedication on Thanksgiving Day in 1917.
Coming up on an anniversary, are we?
Yes. So that is their centennial. They are actually celebrating it now. Mm-hmm. So this Wall of Giants exhibit is really about all three of those institutions, all three of those.
We're saying Cathedral High School, but it really should be Cathedral at all.
Yeah, at all.
I think Catholic education as a whole, I think,
and
too.
Really, yeah, definitely, because even within that history, we can't talk about the story of Cathedral High School, even without talking about the Sisters of Loretto, and the work that they were already doing here before the diocese was even established, and coordinating and conducting all of the parochial Catholic education, and then the building, of course, of Loreto Academy. It's a very rich history. It's so interwoven, and then that connection. And I've been really researching this history since I was a senior at Cathedral. And you know,
what a coincidence! You went to Cathedral.
Yeah, dare I say that? Yeah, next year I'll be coming up on my 30th anniversary. Our class will be in the class of 88, and this opportunity was kind of, you know, Brother Nick approached me, Brother Nick Gonzalez, who's the principal of Cathedral High School, knowing that, you know, we go back a ways, and also knowing just my connection to the school and knowing that I've been doing this research and collecting artifacts and just really trying to put all of these pieces together. Now that this opportunity has come all this time later to actually be part of the Wall of Giants and to be part of this just phenomenal, you know, way of actually just kind of presenting this history.
So what you're doing is taking all the shoe boxes, dumping them out, and putting them up on an exhibit.
well, acid-free boxes.
Oh, good.
There you go.
Well, Dr. David Correjo is in the house, and we're going to put you on hold for just a moment,
sure,
if you may. We have a special telephone call coming in from the far reaches of the north and, I guess, west.
Yes.
Hey, Vince, how are you, sir?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Great show, man. Cathedral High School, can't say enough about it.
Well, what are we doing with you today? Where are you?
I am in Bethel, Alaska, 400 miles west of Anchorage.
What are you doing there, Vince?
Well, we're up here to participate in the 2017 Chamay Festival. A Chamay Festival is like a powwow, and all the people here, Inuit people, get together in Bethel to celebrate that. And I'm here with my group, Danza Matachin Pavo Real, to show them a little bit of our culture down south.
You just happened to wander into their camp with your people and said, hey, let's do
lost.
A thing here. No, this is actually your second year of doing this. You're doing this on purpose.
It looks like Clint.
Oh, yeah, this is the second time. We've come up here in 2012, and they invited us back because they really fell in love with what we do and what we're about.
How close to what you do is what they do?
Very close.
Ah, okay.
They actually, when we do our San Lorenzo Fiesta celebrations down in Clint, well, we invite all the neighboring communities to come together and enjoy a celebration. Well, that's exactly what they do here in Bethel. Bethel is like a metropolis, not too big, but it's a center of all these little communities. And once a year, at the end of March, they all get together, and Chamay actually means handshake. So they all get together, and you see a lot of handshaking up here.
Cool.
But they enjoy each other's company, and a lot of people here, when I see them embrace, they're embracing each other like they haven't seen each other in a year.
Wow. So you're up there doing dancing for them and with them?
Yes. Each group takes turns dancing, and our group is also featured in the cultural department, and we show them our culture from down here, yes.
Vince Sanchez, that is way cool. Thanks for calling in and sharing that with us, dude.
Oh, yeah.
When you get back, tell us how it was, all right?
Hey, Vince.
Okay, sure thing.
Vince, we want some walrus tacos.
Well, I'll tell you what, Miss Chamay 2017, I was talking to her last night, and she offered me blubber.
Blubber.
Oh.
No, thank you. I'm married.
I was going to say that might be slang for something. Good luck with that, Vince. Well, Vince, thanks for ringing up, dude. Have a good day.
Tell the crew we all said hi.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay,
see you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
You take her easy. We had to take that call because he's the ultimate tourist right now.
Well, and he's being an ambassador for El Paso. I mean, they've invited him back. And it's interesting, like you said, there's that combination. There's that mixture of culture that actually have some very similar words in their languages and their dance and their rituals. So it was really fascinating.
Wouldn't it be great if we could find a way to invite one of their groups down to San Lorenzo for that festival?
Well, I think he has federal grant money behind him doing what he's doing.
Well, they do up there, yeah.
We've got to find some of that for here.
No kidding.
All right, Bernie Sargent's in the house. We're talking about the Wall of Giants in El Paso, the history thereof, and Dr. David Correjo from UTEP. And, Doctor, you have been the one... I guess, who's been the go-to guy for history recently.
Yeah, recently. And that's why I'm kind of the unofficial person. It's that normally when there's questions about Cathedral's history, you know, Brother Nick or some of the other alumni will call me.
You're it, huh?
Yeah, and I'm basically it.
Wait, a quick question I have, sure, on it. You know, everybody thinks of Cathedral as being Irish because of its relation to Notre Dame and such. But now you also they have the French connection, which is...
The French connection.
Yes, which is the style of teaching that you have. Is Cathedral the only one in El Paso of the parochial schools that teaches this LaSallian tradition named after, was it St.
John Baptist de La Salle, and in the
Who
Catholic
that?
Church. St. John Baptist de La Salle was the founder of the religious order of the Brothers of the Christian Schools, the Frères des Écoles Chrétiennes.
That's the whole title right there?
Yeah, the Brothers of the Christian Schools.
It's a really big business card.
Two pages on that one.
Yeah, that's where the FSC, it's more in Latin.
But they were not Jesuits.
No. Actually, Saint de La Salle was a priest in France and founded the order in 1680. And his priestly career began just like any other, you know, I guess anyone else at that time. But he suddenly came upon what was considered at that time in 1680 a very radical idea, which was actually to provide education for the poor.
Yeah.
And in Europe at that time, during that reign of, I believe, Louis XIV or so, mm-hmm, that really education was for the people who could afford it, and it was for the wealthy. And actually, and the Jesuits at that time were also really more involved in higher education. But when De La Salle was actually looking at a number of the children in Reims, France, who were just kind of wandering the street, kind of delinquent, and were, you know, just really didn't have any direction, he really set it upon himself to start schools and founding a religious order in the process. And that is essentially how, you know, since 1680 and the, you know, it's just kind of how it came to be that over time he became the patron saint of all Catholic teachers.
Well, who was it that actually founded Cathedral? Weren't they Jesuits?
No. Cathedral High School was founded by actually the diocese. I mean, it was a diocesan school. And the brothers were asked to come to El Paso to take over the school.
Well, where are the Jesuits? Where'd they come from?
The Jesuits?
Well, these here are from the
Jesuits,
province of Naples.
Originally, yeah, province of Naples, initially.
Naples, Italy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and actually knowing that Father Carlos Pinto, who was the apostle of El Paso and really a pioneer, Father Pinto was a Jesuit.
That's who I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he had nothing to do with Cathedral?
No.
Okay.
But certainly in terms of the history of St. Patrick Cathedral, definitely.
Okay.
And that's when we started looking at, you know, Immaculate Conception Church being the pro-cathedral, and Anthony Schuller, the first bishop, was also a Jesuit. So the Jesuits had a very, and also the building of Sacred Heart Church.
They were a different group of people, weren't they?
Yes.
That's what I want to know about.
Well, I think it's like any organization. You have people who do different things in different sections. Yeah.
And De La Salle's order, the brothers are not priests. They are simply recognized as a religious order of brothers. And there are many Christian brothers organizations that are orders that are out there, including the Irish Christian Brothers.
Right.
And so
we
forth.
Need to take a break here, but this is going to be fun to hear about. We got you here for 2 hours, Dr. David Correa, Mr. Bernard Sargent here, who is the historian at hand.
Oh, yes. Yes,
yes, indeed.
Yes, I am.
You'll go with that idea. You're the historian.
Today, yes, I will.
That's here.
Okay. I'm standing
he's easy.
In his shadow.
He's not cheap, but he's easy, yes.
Fair enough. And that's from his wife, who would know. There you go. Mm. All right, moving on to a couple of other things. We're going to do trivia. Also, we should We should say hello to Ray Baca.
Ray Baca.
You know what happened last time?
He's been missing in action.
You know what happened last time we did this? He showed up at lunch.
Got us. Let's get him to do that again.
Yeah, it could be. Where do you want to go to lunch today? I'm going to go down the street here.
Were we going to lunch today? Or
kind of up in the air right now.
Yeah, we'll let you know later.
Maybe, how about, hey, Shelly, you want to go to Luby's today? We can go to Luby's.
Luby's.
But also,
I got my tray.
We need
just
to
like
promote,
school.
But we need to promote
I know.
Pepe's.
That's right, Pepe's.
Because Pepe's is a sponsor. And Pepe's wants us to name an Oñate special right now. Yeah, so
Where's the menu? We must.
How about the equestrian taco? It's horse meat.
Bernie.
Doesn't
no.
have those.
No.
Oh,
no.
How about combination plate number 3?
Okay, that sounds good.
That's roll taco, red chili cheese enchilada, chili relleno, chili con carne, frijoles, slaw and ricey.
Ricey.
You got that Frijoles thing?
Let me have the menu for the Frijoles, yes.
Oh, hey, you want to see that?
I might even post that. Yes.
Number three there is in Yate. What happens, Doc, is that when we say something like that on the radio, that's like a $10 event when you go there.
Oh, sure.
Today, the Yate special that we just named is $6.
Oh.
There's the difference.
Have you been to Pepe's?
Actually, I don't think I have.
You must. Oh, it's a must place to go.
I will put that on my priority list.
You got to do
it. Well, it's the staff and one of the cooks and the
owner and his wife.
Owner, well, now, of Pepe's now. Yeah. But they used to work for the Griggs family. Mm. Which did you ever go to the Griggs restaurant? They had one on the west side, on the east side of Montana. And the one on the west side.
Very different good food.
Yeah.
New Mexican food.
All right, we got trivia on the brain here. You got some trivia handy?
Yes, I do. Okay. The first question is, where did the first Jesuits in El Paso come from?
I know.
You know.
I just asked that question.
And we have a teacher that will keep you after class today, the doctor.
The doc is here. So there's the question. What is it again?
Where did the first Jesuits in El Paso come from? Oh, where did they originate?
They had to come from somewhere.
Yes, especially Father Pinto was one of those.
We went over that. Okay, that's the question. And to get one of these prizes of a DVD, the Pepe's for 20.
That's right.
They have to do what?
They have to call us at 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
You can't drive a nail with a screwdriver.
Oh, man.
And you can't use money as a tool if you've got it locked up in government programs, like pension plans or IRAs. Bill Linderman here, El Paso's old-fashioned finance dude. The stock market's been nailed 3 times since 2000. Clients on InTouch financial plans never lost a dime.
Phew!
When the stock market takes the next dive and everyone else is losing their britches, clients on InTouch financial plans will have money sitting, waiting, ready to take advantage of any opportunities that may come up because they did it the smart way the wealthy do it, without using the stock market.
Oh!
That, my friend, is just one example of using money as a tool. Call me to learn how you can start using money as a tool without getting nailed in the stock market at 915-595-2752. That's 915-595-2752. Or on the interwebs at keepingintouchfinancial.com. InTouch Financial, keeping you from getting hammered in the stock market.
Hey, News Radio 690 listeners, you always tune in to us to stay informed. Well, here's one you need to know about. The happiest day on earth is the Sun City Craft Beer Fest, powered by iHeartMedia. It's happening Saturday, April 29th, 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Downtown Convention Center Plaza. Check out over 150 craft beers, plus live music, art, giant beer games, free brewing lessons from the pros, food trucks, a liquor garden, and a lot more. The Sun City Craft Beer Fest, April 29th, presented by El Paso Live. Find out more at suncitybeerfest.com.
Save thousands on the Michael Phelps Swim Spas and Hot Tubs by Master Spas and build your dream backyard at the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo at Sunland Park Mall this weekend. For details, log on to BigSpaExpo.com or call 855-BIG-EXPO.
You know, when you click the thumbs up on iHeartRadio, it does so much more than light up. It's the key to My Favorites Radio, your own station, playing all the songs you thumb up on one personalized station.
This is Angus Young from AC/DC on iHeartRadio.
The more songs you thumb up, the more personalized it becomes. So keep thumbing away. And when you're ready, search My Favorites and hit play. Free radio and unlimited music, all in one app, iHeartRadio.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, got trivia on the brain here. We're going to tell you about that in a minute. Got some callers lining up, 544-5876. And history lessons. The Harvey girls are meeting again. Yes. They keep doing that. They just keep meeting and meeting. But every Monday on the first, it was like the second Monday in the month, April 10th this year, this month, whatever it is. Anyway, they're going to meet April 10th. That's a Monday. And at the station, Union Station Passenger Station Depot. There's two stations in that title. Anyway, 700 San Francisco Avenue, 2 to 4 p.m. The program is collection of the Fred Harvey legacy. And there's no big rabbits involved. Press Dirkup is doing that. You can hear the whistle of the freight trains while smelling the smoke and cinders as the trains roll through historic downtown El Paso. I don't think that really happened.
I don't think there's cinders.
I think they've been smoking something down there.
Maybe it's their cigars in the back of the girls.
591-2326. Call up those people. Southwest Chapter Railway Locomotive Historical Society, they're doing their thing at St. Timothy's Lutheran Church, 1150 Montwood. That's on April the 12th, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. The program is History of the Railway Post Office. Woody Bear will be presenting that. Oh, program and dinner. $10. Call them up. 540-9660. And you got a chorale going.
That's right. Those Chorale of Westerners, another group that do some wonderful history, have been around for a long time and continue their programs. And their next program is going to be April 21st at the Country Inn and Suites over there on Sunland Park Drive and I-10. And the program is going to be Constable John Selman and Perry Greer, presented by Keith and Everett Erickson.
That's a team.
A father and son and team.
That's
and
a team.
And his son's pretty young, and he's been doing this for a couple of years now at the Walkthrough History at Concordia. And they've taken it on the road now. So the program dinner cost is only $20, and visitors are welcome, but you must RSVP by 759-9538 by April 17th. And then you have the Rio Grande chapter of the Daughters of the Texas Revolution. They also will meet on the 21st at Royal Estates at 435 South Mesa Hills at 11 a.m. And their program's on the ballet legacy of Ingborg
Hauser.
Was it Hauser?
Huser.
Hauser? Shelly corrected me last week, and I wish she'd come back in here and do it again.
H-E-U-S-E-R.
Yeah. Heiser. Whatever. Okay. She's going to shoot me now.
Right in the back.
Hauser?
I don't know. Sounds good.
I heard a voice. Okay, luncheon and program cost is only $10. Visitors are welcome. Please call 760-5775.
Ask them.
Ask them how to say it.
All right, we got Frank and who is the other person on the phone here? Frank, it's my writing I can't read. Oh, I tried to write with the word Richard. Oh, boy. Going in order of Frank and Richard. Frank, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Okay, how are you doing this morning?
We're surviving nicely. Melissa has a question for you. You ready?
Okay. Let me see if I can answer it. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. Where did the Jesuit priests in El Paso come from?
Take a guess.
I don't know.
Take a guess.
The Jesuit priests. Where? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to. France, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, no. Kind of was in that.
Well, no cigar, but thanks for trying. Call us next week. Try something else, all right?
All right, thanks
for listening.
Thank you. You take her easy. Got another question over there for next person? Next person is going to be Richard.
Okay. Are we still on the first one or the second one?
I don't know. Give him give him both of them.
Okay,
who cares? Whatever.
All right. Where did the first Jesuits in El Paso come from?
I'm hoping Italy.
There you go. That's close.
Italy. You bet.
Italy.
Naples, right?
Naples, the province of Naples, Italy.
But it wasn't the Jesuits who were behind cathedral.
No.
Okay. We just had that question thrown in there. It's a Catholic thing, right?
Yeah. It's Christian Brothers and not the brandy. Yes.
Yeah, right.
All right.
That's actually where
I know where it came from.
Still that connection.
Hey, they were teachers. You
yes.
know?
Yeah.
Now, wait. Did I just start a rumor here the cathedral is going to start making brandy?
No.
The Christian Brothers started brandy. That was pretty much their big thing in France.
And also in Napa, California, they also had the winery there, which they've now since sold. But the name is still there.
You know, you get Brother Nick into this, and he'll figure out how to put grapevines up on your roof.
Okay.
And you make some
money for the school.
Oh, it's all for the church. Yeah, it goes to the communion table. Yeah, right. Hey, Bertie?
I'm staying out of
this conversation.
We got
somebody here online.
There's a guy named Richard here listening to all this.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, how you doing?
Almost forgot you there.
Is that what you had on your mind today, this trivia thing?
No, I just happen to be cooking breakfast, listening to you guys like I do most Saturdays.
Oh,
well, thanks for joining us for breakfast.
Well, bring what it time? On over.
Yeah, I'm an old friend of Dusty Henson, so I've seen you guys a couple times.
Oh, my. We'll still talk to you no matter what. We'll talk to you even
okay.
still. So what's for breakfast this morning? What do you got for breakfast?
Scrambled eggs, chili con queso, bacon, sausage,
Yeah, we're coming to your house.
We'll come over.
Yeah, what time shall we be there? No. Let's go.
We can do a remote from his kitchen.
We'll just go over and eat his food. Hey, but we got yourself a prize here. You want the Pepe's food here? You want a DVD? What's on your needs?
I'll take the DVD.
Which one? Okay, we got lots of them. We've got.
I'll take El Paso History one, a basic one.
The Celebration of Cultures?
No. Yeah. No, he doesn't know what.
Yeah, but how about the one that's just a basic history of El Paso?
Well, how about those? Is the mountains in there?
I can't see them.
There's a smelter. There's a.
How about take the smelter just because it's a bizarre recent.
Okay.
Bizarre recent history for the smelter. All right, you got a winner there, and thank you for playing the game here. We got another question for somebody, but they didn't call. But hold on here. Now Shelley will tell you how to pick this up. All right.
All right.
Thank you very much for playing here, Shelley. You got a live one here.
I like my eggs over easy.
Yeah. Easy over easy.
We're all going to Richard's house right now.
And Vince is bringing some blubber back
on the eggs, and we should probably move on. There's no other caller here, so we're going to park that question.
Cowards.
And that's the way that goes. All right, the thing we need to do now is take one more break and come do a long segment about the history of Cathedral, because the history of Cathedral High School is intertwined with El Paso, is it not?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then I was just kind of building off of what Melissa was asking before. That the other connection, and actually, you know, we are the fighting. That was one of the main questions that I used to get all the time, and a lot of us as alumni get all the time. Is like, why do you have the Fighting Irish as a mascot
at
Cathedral High School? And now it's just simply the Irish. And it actually really was not because of an affiliation with Notre Dame. It's really connected to the history of the Irish communities in El Paso. And also to some very interesting events that happened with Mr. William Henry Fryer, who was a prominent lawyer here in El Paso
for many years. Let's find
and
out.
And essentially the fight against the KKK in El Paso.
Very interesting. Too. All right, we have one more break here. Come back and talk about that. And people can call us or talk to us on Facebook.
Well, they can go to the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, which I'm going to post the Oñate special for Pepe's, New Mexican restaurant, so people can check that out and go up to Pepe's and have lunch today or tomorrow or someday, but definitely get up there. And our phone number also is 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
This is Ed Lukasevic.
And Cindy Lukasevic at Dynavite.
This year, whenever you order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog, we'll send you a free sample of one of the other doggy things we make.
Like Lico Chaps, Super Mega Fish Oil, or Doggo Suds Shampoo.
What's on your dog's wish list?
We'll offer a different freebie each week at Dynavite.com.
Don't you just love the sound of healthy, happy dogs?
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
This year, we've got 100 reasons for you to switch to Jackson Hewitt. Tell your online tax service to take a hike, and we'll pay you $100 to file with Jackson Hewitt. Plus, you'll get your max refund guaranteed. So maybe it's more like 101 reasons. It pays to switch to Jackson Hewitt. File today and get $100. Minimum tax preparation fee of $150 applies. Offer valid when you complete your taxes with us. $100 provided on a card. Not valid with any other promotion or discount. Ask a tax pro or see JacksonHewitt.com for details. Available in participating locations only. Most offices are independently owned and operated.
Ditch Witch Sales and Service in El Paso introduces the new Yanmar line of multi-use compact utility tractors. Yanmar designs, manufactures, and engineers all major components in-house, from the engine and transmission to the axles. And because they're made to work perfectly together, you get more usable horsepower and a smoother ride. See the new Yanmar tractors and the full lineup of Ditch Witch construction products at Ditch Witch Sales and Service, 10033 Railroad Drive, just north of Loop 375, or call them at 821-4477 or 800-444-7569.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Childhood hunger is a silent epidemic. 1 in 5 school children do not have enough to eat. School lunch programs help feed these kids. But when the school bell rings on Friday, many of these children have nothing to eat. Blessings in a Backpack provides 2 entrees, 2 breakfasts, and 2 snacks for children who would otherwise have no food and no hope. Go to blessingsinabackpack.org.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got some Spanish history to talk about, the Renaissance, actually. The International Siglo del Oro Drama Festival is coming April 19th through 22 at the Chamizal National Memorial Theater. Tickets are free, but you got to go there to pick them up on the night of the performance. So you can't just like warehouse them and think you're going, but don't. They're available starting at 5:30 p.m. for the 7 p.m. productions. On April 19th, School of Theater and Dance at Illinois State University are presenting The Heresy of Love and the student production in English. And normally these things are in Spanish. Story set in 17th century Mexico City, and it's all kinds of history they've got here. On April 20th, the F.A. Tres Teatro and Cabaret Misterio. I might have said that right. Maybe they're from Mexico City.
Somebody will correct us, I'm sure.
But that one's going to be in Spanish, and it's appropriate for the whole family. Loosely based on Shakespeare's play Henry V.
You gave me the really hard one. Oh, on April 21st, you have Compañía de Teatro de Mala.
That's easy. That's easy.
This is from Mala, Spain, and they will treat the audience to an updated classical comedy. This work deals with the realities of work and family life through the lens of the past and the future. The production is done in Spanish. And then on the 22nd, you have the festival will close with the adaptation of El Retablo de las Maravillas by Cervantes, performed by Morfeo Teatro. And in this series,
come see the play.
Yeah, Cervantes has written a hilarious satire on hypocrisy. But there you go. This performance is played against stage setting inspired by Picasso's Cubist painting, Guernica, and ends with a bitter plea for honesty and virtue. Overall, this year's International Siglo de Oro Drama Festival takes the writings of bygone age Spain and turns it into these wonderful plays that have messages for all.
There you go. Oh, I must know something. Oh, today at noon, the kid's back. They're going to do Talk El Paso today from noon to 1 o'clock.
Andrew's not a kid.
He's bigger than I am. He's a grown
he's
dude.
He's taller than you, that's for sure.
Andrew J. Polk will be talking about the El Paso mayoral race and what is at stake for El Paso. They're going to do a whole series on these.
Oh, that's great.
Starting next week, I think they're going to have candidates actually come in here.
Oh, cool.
But today, they're going to do an hour on Facebook, a half an hour on 690 AM. And the thing you're going to get out of this today is he also has a guest coming in, Robbie Gray from El Paso, Inc. He has some exciting news about the weekly paper to tell everyone that's going on today at noon o'clock right after we get off here.
And noon o'clock.
Noon o'clock. I like that. I made that up. All right, moving back to the history at hand is Cathedral High School. It's also the entire block. And we have the doctor in here, David Correjo, and you have been looking at the history. Bernie Sargent is in here with us. Bernie's been looking at the History Museum. You're on the committee, aren't you, not, to deal with this stuff?
Yes, I am. I have been pretty much since the get-go.
What do you do? You vote on who comes in?
Yeah, what we do is we vote on who comes in, and then we work with the organization that we're honoring to put together this whole great event, which will be a 6-month event starting in August of this year.
Doc, what's going to happen in August? Tell us, what do we get here?
Oh, my goodness. What we're essentially working on right now is a very essential timeline that is not just the timeline of the history of the church, but also of the school, but something just those critical points within El Paso history that really put all of this with Cathedral High School's history and St. Patrick Cathedral's history in context, in a very rich context. So essentially what we're going to see is kind of what we want to try to set up is something that is, you know, as soon as somebody walks into the museum, they start the timeline from the moment they actually get into the door and start reading and looking at this particular history that we've mapped out, and with a lot of critical artifacts, a lot of things that people maybe haven't realized are still in existence, documents, scrapbooks, photos. We want to highlight, since it is the Wall of Giants, a number of whom we consider to be the giants of this block, and you know, essentially the people who were really the founders of St. Patrick Cathedral and also of Cathedral High School.
Can you name a group of people? Who are we dealing with here?
Oh, my goodness. Well, of course, obviously, Bishop Schuller. We start thinking about some of the first rectors of St. Patrick Cathedral in Father Malachi O'Leary, Father Robert O'Loughran. We look at the first brothers who came to assume the responsibility of taking over the school in Brother Ernest Concagna, who was the first principal, Brother Edward Bernard, and also Brother Charles Friedin.
Now, these are all people already who are obviously already Catholic.
Yes, these are brothers. Yeah,
number one,
definitely.
But what about the lay people who are also Catholic?
Absolutely. The biggest people that we can think of in terms of the Wall of Giants, I'm talking about, as I mentioned before, Mr. William Henry Fryer, who is a prominent lawyer in El Paso, and was really instrumental in also bringing the Christian Brothers to El Paso, because he himself was the product of a Christian Brothers education at Manhattan College Preparatory School in New York, which was part of Manhattan College. And then also somebody who was really affiliated with the Brothers from the get-go was Mr. Robert James Carson, who was really the director of the entire athletic program for the school.
Do you know how it got its name, St. Patrick's?
Yes.
Melissa knows because you did a history moment on this.
That's right. Speaking of the Irish heritage,
Why would I? That's where the Irish really came into play.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us the story?
Yeah. This is what also really, as I started doing this research, I have been ever since my senior year been wanting to find the time to carve out the history of the Irish in El Paso,
which is hard to find.
Which is really hard to find, and I find out that nationwide, unless you're on the East Coast, it's really, really difficult. Yeah.
But here's big evidence of it right here in the naming of Cathedral,
and mainly because of the presence, you know, of the railroad with the Irish laborers as well as the laborers, the Chinese laborers that came to build the railroad.
Blame it on the railroads.
That's why the Irish came to El Paso, and basically it's that history across Texas as they were building the railroad.
Well, the wives that named or that won the lottery for naming, they raised the most money for the St. Patrick's Cathedral. They were miners' wives.
Yes, yes.
So that's what I was trying to
say. The railroad guys turned into miners?
Possibly, or they may have come, because a lot of them came out of the coal mining countries on the east, in the southeast, Pennsylvania, in that area, came west, again, looking for better opportunities and such. And they were working in the mines, from what I could find, down in Mexico, as well as up in Silver City and in the area.
Yeah, and some documents from the railroad that are now housed in the UTEP Special Collections in the UTEP Library. The Irish laborers on the railroad were, I guess because of their mining background, they actually were mostly in charge of, like, clearing the paths, blasting through mountains.
Yeah. They were known for their blowing up things.
Just kind of doing that. But the Irish in El Paso, I mean, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, which is like the largest Catholic organization for Irishmen in the world.
Hibernians, like this guy right here?
Yeah.
He quite often is a Hibernian.
They were in El Paso as early as 1889. And the Daughters of Aaron, which was really like the ladies' auxiliary of this order, as it turns out, the one person who was really responsible for kind of kick-starting, because at this point, Father Barry was directing the building of St. Patrick's Church, and as a Jesuit, he was a Jesuit priest, and he was, you know, so wrapped up in the fundraising and was really putting out calls for donations that he put forward a challenge and said that anybody who can donate $10,000 to the chest and to the pool, this pool of money, so we can start building this church, will have the honor of naming the church.
And that was this group of women.
Yeah, and actually, as it turns out, it was Miss Delia Lane, who was a very prominent Irish Catholic woman in El Paso, loved children, was was really concerned about their welfare and about, you know, just a really, really amazing woman. She would be another, if I can hopefully find a picture of her, we can actually put her on the Wall of Giants.
Well, you've been looking everywhere,
just
right?
Just been looking everywhere.
Okay. And you've been over to the Society, Historical Society yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I've actually been there off and on for many years. And she was actually the one who presented Father Barry the $10,000, and she said, well, in all of her modesty, she cannot be the one who named it. I'm going to leave it up to the Daughters of Aaron, though, as a member of that organization. She was also the first president of the Altar Society at Immaculate Conception.
So she'd been around a bit in the circle.
She'd been around for a while, and of course the Daughters of Aaron are going to choose the apostle of their homeland.
We got to take another break. On the way, let's ask Bernie here, how do you select the people or the groups that turn into these Hall of Giants honorees? Mm-hmm. How does, and you're on a committee at the museum. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Well, what we do is we throw in a bunch of ideas, okay? Yeah. And we want to look at who, what group, what person made a great impact on early El Paso and kind of helped shape us going forward, kind of formulated the culture, because we have such a tremendous fabric of cultures here in El Paso. You know, not only the Hispanic, the Mexicans, but we also have the Blacks, the Chinese, the Koreans,
Irish,
the Lebanese.
Now the Irish.
That's a class in of itself.
Yes, absolutely.
Spoken by somebody who's a little bit Irish.
We'll let everybody in.
We just found out he's got some Irish, so he's now allowed to stay in the
house. We're going to let everybody in except not the Irish. That was from Blazing Saddles, I think, wasn't it?
Well, we've got signs at home that were posted on the East Coast. The Irish were looked down on big time.
They actually, the black slaves were thought better than the Irish.
And actually, for many years, and this was even true coming into Texas, that being called Irish was actually an insult because they associated, you know, for people with an anti-Catholic sentiment would equate being Catholic with being Irish.
Oh, yeah.
And being called an Irishman or, you know, was actually a pretty bad insult.
Well, we got 2 hours here, but we're not going to get to everything here. Yeah. Last thought for you before the break?
No, I was just going to say the Irish were the white trash of Europe.
Oh, my goodness.
But in Mexico, they were heroes.
That's true. Well, they found their home in Mexico.
We need to thank the control room people, by the way. Shelley Sutherland doing the telephones in there. And on the board is Sergio Valenzuela.
Hey,
thank you very much, sir.
Good morning, Sergio.
For being in there and doing your thing and doing our thing. And in the meantime, let's take a break. Shall we do that?
We shall do that.
544-5876
or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Save thousands on the Michael Phelps Swim Spas and Hot Tubs by Master Spas and build your dream backyard at the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo at Sunland Park Mall this weekend. For details, log on to BigSpaExpo.com or call 855-BIG-EXPO.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-600-3166. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-600-3166. That's 1-800-600-3166. 1-800-600-3166.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-224-5353. That's 1-800-224-5353. 1-800-224-5353. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Almost out of here for this hour. We got these guys sitting here for another hour. We're going to talk about the history of cathedrals, some of the Catholic Church in El Paso.
Yeah, we're doing some research right now.
Oh, well, you guys are into it. And what's going to happen is the research goes on the wall, the giant wall at the History Museum. And we're going to ask Bernie at some point here to explain that to us. How come we have a wall? I like that wall. It's a pretty good wall.
Me too.
All right. I'll tell you about some Poppy Fest going on today. It's the 11th annual, 10 to 4, Museum of Archaeology, 4301 Trans Mountain Road. Free for all, and parking is free at Cohen Stadium. Shuttle up to the museum. They got all kinds of stuff going on, a feature film inside and the exhibits. But outside, a live wolf and a hawk. And you can encounter them. Apparently, you can encounter them. Hands-on activities, nature tours, archery, live entertainment, art vendors, food trucks. Call them out there, 755-4332. And on the 15th of April, Mike Bilbo, a special speaker on the Bataan Death March, an annual memorial marathon. And they're gonna that talk is at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 15th. Explain some of that history and why it pertains to El Paso. What do you got over there?
I've got the Kermazar. Kermazar is back. The 2017 Kermazar Arts Festival will take place on April 1st and 2nd, today and tomorrow, from 11 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And this is a great event that they're going to be hosting there at the International Museum of Art. It's a historic venue in the heart of El Paso. And the cost is only $5 for adults, and children 12 and under are free. They're going to have arts and crafts, food trucks, and music. And so come on out there. Kermazar is a great event. I was going to try to swing by there today, but unfortunately we have something else that's coming up. So we may get there tomorrow. Hope you can come out and see them. They're going to have some great items for sale, and we can start thinking towards Christmas already. That's where I get a lot of my gifts. So again, today and tomorrow at the International Museum of Art from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Got Dr. David Correjo in here talking about Cathedral High School and also the entire Catholic experience, basically. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sargent's here talking about the history. And the history, Bernie, at the History Museum, how did we get the Wall of Giants to happen?
Well, there was a former director over there, Yulia Bussinger, who left us about a year and a half, 2 years ago, moved down to Houston for family reasons. She was given a tour of the old federal building, and there was this huge, beautiful Tom Lee painting up there, mural, just a gorgeous one, that showed representations of people that had a major impact on the El Paso community.
They're kind of life-size, aren't they?
They're very much, yeah. And she said, wow, we need to think about doing something that would follow suit with that, and came up with the idea of the Wall of Giants. And that's where that was the birth of it. And I've got to give a lot of credit to Rebecca Whitaker and David Saucedo. They were the original co-chairs of the committee that started this off. And they've done a great job. Rebecca's still with us, and David is very busy doing political things right now, so he's kind of
preoccupied. Speaking of mayoral candidates, David Saucedo's from Cathedral.
Yes. That's right.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Beto O'Rourke also went to Cathedral.
Did he really?
I think so, didn't he?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did. Never mind, I lied.
Okay.
No, he did not. But politicians do come out of there.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Correjo, we're going to ask you to stick around another hour with Bernie and talk more about this, because we really haven't really gotten into this.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're having an exhibit, so you can put all the details out there
right. And
explain it to everybody.
Right.
Now, you're writing a book?
Well, I'm hoping that at some point, it may not be until I actually retire, that it will become a book. But right now, I've got a manuscript.
So it goes. All right. After the news, we're coming back and doing this again. And join us after that. We'll take your calls. We'll take your comments on Facebook. And we'll just take your comments in person.
Abraham? Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
So it goes. See you after the news.
Thanks for listening.
listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
Listen to the TDP Tax Team Show, Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. on News Talk 690. If you have a tax problem, don't wait. Call TDP right now at 888-450-4645 or visit tdptaxteam.com.
To speak out about media coverage.